Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Wednesday. It is the 28th of April, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Sorry, did you just say it's the 28th of April?
I did. Surprise.
Right. Cool. So that's happened.
That's a thing that is currently still happening, as a matter of fact.
Cool.
Sorry, that probably ruins some plans of yours. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Good morning, Kelly.
So we have a couple of things to talk about. The first thing I want to mention is that, today's all about system updates, number one. There are updates out for all of your things, regardless of which Apple things you have. They have updates. And the first one I'm going to do is a quick PSA for macOS. If you are on Big Sur, you need to update to 11.3. It's got a security patch in it that's very important. If you have Catalina, you should also make sure that you check for system updates. There's a security update for that as well. But the 11.3 one is not one of the things we like to talk about on Security Friday, where it's been fixed already or it's not going to actually affect you. So but you know, make sure you run it so that you're patched against it anyway. This is an active exploit that's happening, so make sure you get the update in for that. But the other one we want to talk about today is iOS 14.5, which has come after many betas.
All of them.
I knew I had to wait a moment for Charlotte to get in on just how many betas we've had of 14.5, because it's many.
Very many.
Yeah, stacks of them. But also,
the official total, I think officially we got to 8.
Yeah.
Joking aside.
Yeah, it was a number of them. There are some very big like headline features in all of this. One of the biggest one, I think, the one that has definitely caused the most discussion is app tracking transparency. And Charlotte, I know you've written a bit about this.
Well, do you know, there's a really great podcast where people talk about how Apple stuff affects the media industry, including advertising.
Really?
Yeah, it's really good. It's called Media Plus. It's from the Mac Observer. And the episode before last, I was joined by a reporter from Adweek, and we went through it all. And he was really informative about how ad tracking transparency is affecting the ad industry. So it's worth listening to if you're interested in that kind of thing.
Interesting. Yeah, definitely go check that out. Full disclosure, Charlotte is the host of that show for people who
are
wondering why we were promoting it.
And Brian is on the latest episode discussing the Oscars.
Yes. I am. All right. Interesting.
But you're right. The reason I discussed it on that show is because, as you say, it has been controversial and a big thing and a row between Facebook and Apple, amongst others, and now it's here. So we're going to be able to see what happens now it's out in the wild. I've only actually noticed the relevant pop-up, which asks if you want to be tracked, mm-hmm. on one app, and that is TikTok.
Interesting. Okay.
I didn't allow myself to be tracked.
Can I make an observation?
Sorry, no. Go ahead.
Please.
I'm kidding. I'm of course kidding.
Facebook's ridiculous campaign about how Apple is harming small businesses. How like
Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. Like the big tech company advertising how Apple protecting our privacy is going to harm small businesses appears to have petered out. I haven't seen any of those commercials for a while.
Yeah.
Now that could just be me. And it could just be where I've been hanging out, and maybe they're still out there, but if the campaign has stopped, I am reminded of my very wise observation that I am so happy to pat myself on the back about, that Mark Zuckerberg does not have the power, the wisdom to wield the power that he has amassed. It was such a stupid campaign. It was such a stupid campaign, and I hope that it is actually gone.
Yeah, there has been some digital rights campaign stuff that Andrew and I have written up, but that's more related to making the App Store open as opposed to the specific campaign you're talking about, which is around advertising and tracking and that.
Yeah, it's this tracking issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be very interesting to see as the weeks and months go on what the percentage take up of each option is.
Mm-hmm.
And I shared a link on the Mac Observer where the Wall Street Journal's Joanna Stern interviewed Air Force One Craig Federighi, and he can explain ad tracking trends. He can play ad tracking the privacy feature in just over 8 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Ad tracking transparency.
Yeah. And
how many times can you say that without slipping up? I think I've reached my max.
Yeah, and I don't want to try because I know it's going to be another two. The other thing I wanted to point out was something that you had covered, Charlotte, also. There was a video from Apple that's under 2 minutes, and it talks all about what ATT is and why you care about it.
Yeah, it's a really good video, actually. Yeah. Worth checking out.
And it's very approachable. Like, this is something that anybody can sit down and watch and understand what it is that's actually happening. So that was part of what I enjoyed about it. But app tracking transparency is only one of the things that we got out of 14.5. Yeah. That's definitely the one that's gotten the most attention because, as we mentioned, there was a Facebook campaign and all kinds of other wailing and gnashing of teeth from advertising about how this was going to decimate everybody's business. Another thing that it includes is AirTag support. So if you saw the event last week and some information about AirTags, you will need to update in order to make sure that you can use them with your devices. The other big feature is one that we're going to talk about a little bit here, which requires an Apple Watch. But if you have an Apple Watch, you can now unlock your phone even if you have a mask on. And Charlotte, I know this was the thing that actually prompted you to install a beta in the first place and try it out and see how it actually works in practice.
You can listen to a previous show about where there was a slight flaw in my plan. But yes, it was really, Dave, our colleague Dave was quite excited about it, and I tested out, and it's really good. It works in very limited circumstances, appropriately limited circumstances, I would say. But basically, if you're in like a shop or something and you very quickly need your watch for your phone for something, you don't have that annoying 10 seconds or whatever flapping around trying to get your phone open. If your Apple Watch is nearby, i.e. on your wrist, open, running, and your phone mm-hmm. is nearby, and the watch has to be running watchOS 7.4, which also just came out the same day as 14.5.
Yeah, and that's why we were talking about there being updates for all of your things, because in order to use the mask unlock, you need to make sure that you have watchOS updated. iOS and iPad OS both got updated. And like I said at the top of the show, macOS 11.3 is something that's out there. So all of your stuff probably needs at least one update, depending
Kelly.
What it is. Yes, Brian.
Can I make an observation about this mask unlocking feature?
Yes.
So I did not run the betas and was not really paying attention to how things work. So I was rather surprised to learn this morning that the process does not actually require you to do anything on your phone. It simply on your watch. Mm-hmm. It simply requires your watch to be unlocked. That said, it does still require you to look into your phone. So your iPhone is still doing some facial detection. I'm guessing they're still measuring like the distance between your eyes. And then they're saying, hey, you've got a mask on. Let's check your watch and see if your watch is unlocked. And if your watch is unlocked, which, and probably they're also doing some proximity detection, but I don't know that for sure. That's certainly how I would do it. And then it is essentially just automatically unlocked. So it looks like FaceTime is working, but it's actually using your watch. And then you do get a notification on your watch that says, hey, your phone is open. And there's a button to actually to relock it from your phone.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember. What you're saying makes complete sense, Brian. And I had assumed that it recognized the part of your face it could see. But I'm trying to remember if it was actually even simpler than that. It just recognized face with mask, whatever face it is. And
did you try that?
What, put my watch on someone else's face? On someone else's wrist and then give them my phone that way around?
No, the other way around. You could actually just give your phone to someone else and stand right next to them.
Like point your phone at a different face.
I haven't tried that, and it would be a good experiment to do because I'd like to know the answer. Because my work assumption when I found out about this feature was exactly as Brian described. But I'm not, I can't remember if it's actually even simpler than that.
Yeah. I was under the impression it would end up being the same way that you unlock your Mac. Like,
yeah,
it will prompt you, like, hit the button to do the thing. And it's not. You just sort of get a little buzz on your watch like, yeah, you're unlocked. You're welcome. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, it literally just buzzes on your wrist and you get for about kind of 3-5 seconds a message that says your watch has unlocked your phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's very clever. It's actually kind of freakily easy to use. You mentioned, Kennedy, that you used an app when we were discussing it before. You tried it with a variety of apps, and most of them don't work in this way. It's basically a way to unlock your phone.
Yes.
And I think you can use Apple Pay, can't you?
Yeah, I think so. Because you have your watch as additional authentication, or you could just use your watch to Apple Pay, and then you don't have to worry about any codes or masks or anything. What I had noticed is that I have apps on my phone that will utilize Face ID to get you in the door, so to speak. So that was the issue that I was having, was I have a couple of apps that are like sign in with Face ID. So even though I'm able to unlock my phone now, I still can't unlock those apps. And I don't know if that's because this is only just out, or if it's because Apple hasn't made the mask unlock piece of the transaction available to third-party apps. I don't know what it is. I'm not mad about it. It was just a thing that I noticed, because it didn't occur to me when I can unlock my phone with my face, it didn't occur to me the other stuff wouldn't work. Like, I kind of forgot for a minute. So
I think it's quite deliberate.
Oh, sure.
So that to try and keep the convenience versus security balance right.
Yeah. And it's probably just a matter of nailing it down and then rolling it up for others. Like, the iCloud keychain was the only password manager you could use, and then once Apple sort of had the parameters of that pretty well defined, they opened it up to other stuff like LastPass and 1Password, so that those are options for you as well. So I'm sort of hoping that something like that continues with this, because at least at this point, living in a high-risk state, I'm going to be wearing my mask for a long time to come, and I would really like if other stuff would work, even if I had my mask on. That would be great. Another thing that's interesting to me about...
Sorry to interrupt. Yes. I just wanted to clarify something we were talking about before, because it's important. Apple Pay or making purchases within the App Store, iTunes, or on Safari still requires, and certainly did in the betas, an extra sign-in.
Okay.
So basically, it's letting you into your phone. So if you need to pick up, make a call quickly, reply to a message or an email whilst you've got your mask on, but it's obviously trying to limit the security, how much it's downgrading the security. So
yeah,
be aware if you're paying for something,
if you're paying for something,
have to put in your passcode.
Yes, or spend a minute and set up your watch with Apple Pay, and then you don't have to worry about unlocking your phone in the first place.
Sure.
Which is only funny because I know two people I've had this conversation with who were excited about being able to use it, being able to use their phone with their mask on for Apple Pay. And I'm like, well, if you're excited about it unlocking with your watch, why aren't you just paying with your watch? You know, I always forget that that's a thing that I can do. So there you go. So blow everybody's minds and remind them you can still buy stuff with your watch instead of your phone. Another thing that I think is interesting in the new one is that there's no longer a default voice for the assistant. So the S lady assistant is not a lady by default anymore. You can choose any of the other options that are available to you. And there are a variety of them. And so that's the thing that I think is sort of interesting. You get to choose a region. So you like for the accent, you have like American, Australian, British, South African, and then there's a few voices with sort of each of those accents, which is kind of interesting. So
you know what I want?
What?
I want like the Siri that's coming from a secured location. I want the voice protected for its protection option.
From an undisclosed location or something. Yeah,
exactly.
All right. That would be great. There's now you can, speaking of the assistant, you can ask the assistant to FaceTime groups of people. So if you have a messages group and you want to FaceTime with all of them, you can do that now. And you can also have it announce, the assistant will also now announce incoming calls through AirPods or Beats. Which is apparently new. I didn't realize that was a new thing. I thought she would announce it all the time.
Can I just say, the £25 wireless headphones I bought. Cause,
yes.
They actually tell me if a call is coming in. That's funny that.
That's awesome.
AirPods have only just got that.
Well, I've had it tell me before, though, which is why I'm sort of confused about exactly what this is about. I saw it called out in a list. And I'm not sure... why that is, because I've had it tell me before that there's an incoming call, so I'm not sure.
There's a couple of other things I was excited about in 14.5, yes, but I can't see much evidence of yet.
What are they?
I was excited about the update to the podcast app, mm-hmm, which they made a fairly big play of during the Spring Loaded event.
Yes.
And we were just browsing, all of us were browsing through the podcast app before we began to record, and we couldn't really notice much difference, even though we'd all installed 14.5. And mm-hmm, apparently Apple News is getting a redesigned News Plus tab. But again, I confess, I haven't noticed that change. If listeners have, I look forward to their letters. But I also look forward to seeing these updated changes, because they looked really good when they've been previewed and stuff.
Yeah. And... that was one of the things that I know we checked out before the show was the podcast app, and like it doesn't seem like it's very different.
Yeah,
comparatively.
I think maybe I can't remember exactly what the News Plus tab looked like, but it does look quite nice now in 14.5. It's very clean and like nice magazine cover and stuff. So maybe that has been improved.
Oh, okay. Yeah, one of the things that gets a little less attention sometimes is the other apps that come with, come along as part of the operating system. Like, the stocks app looks great now, said no one ever. Like some of those things, like the podcast app is part of it and is part of iOS, and like messages, if they ever decide they're going to update that, they're not. But if they did, like those are things that just come automatically as part of some of those updates. So that's definitely interesting. What was the other one? You said there were a couple of things.
So, I was looking, as I said, it was just the podcast app really, and I'm noticing a few of the tweaks. It does look a bit different, and maybe the big thing that I haven't seen yet is anyone offering a subscription. Maybe just because people haven't implemented that yet. So I'll keep an eye out for that, and we'll do some stuff as we start seeing these things appear in the wild.
Yeah. We had a tiny nudge to Apple Music. In that there are city-specific playlists for some larger cities. You can share individual lyrics, bits of lyrics, via messages. I think you can also do that on like Facebook or something too.
I won't embarrass you, Kelly, by telling the listeners the one you sent me.
Well, I think it would be better, because probably what you're going to tell them is not what I actually sent you.
Don't give me that idea.
And there was also, I saw somebody mention that Reminders has sort options now in like the lists. That's a thing that you can do now. So
yeah, that was in the press release. Yeah.
Yeah. And somebody, well, I saw somebody mention it, like, I think they had stumbled across it and very excited about that. I think we got some game controller updates, like more, I want to say PlayStation controllers, like new PlayStation controllers are supported if you wanted to use those to play games on things. And then your standard bug fix and security situation. We have new emojis as well, and all kinds of stuff. So there's a lot of things to update there. So far, one of the things that always seems to come up is a wave of people saying, like, my battery life is crap now because I just installed the new update. And at least so far, I haven't seen that. I've only had it for a couple of days, but I haven't seen any sort of battery issues with mine. Overall, it seems like it's, at least for me, it's been pretty smooth. Brian, how about you? I know you had trouble updating your watch.
I did have trouble updating my watch. Ended up requiring me to restart my watch to get the update to install, but I did do that last night. Haven't had any problems. Also haven't used everything very much. I spend most of my iOS time on my iPad, which is actually technically iPadOS, and I just installed it overnight, so I haven't used it much.
Okay. If you have any issues with it, or if there's something that you found in it that's really great that we have missed, please let us know. Observations at MacObserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. Thanks to Brian and Charlotte for being on the show. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.